blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 203, stanzas 1, 3, and 5. In sweet communion, Lord, with thee, I constantly abide. My hand thou holdest in thy own to keep me near thy side. 1, 3, and 5 of Psalter 203.
Thank you. Scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the Gospel according to Luke, and there of Luke 24. But first, we make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Luke 24, beginning with verse 13 to and including 35. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that, while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he brake bread and blessed it, and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us, while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, all-knowing, all-sufficient Lord, who hast provided and dost provide for thy church, even unto the end of this world. Oh, then it is a day wherein we may commemorate thy resurrection from the dead. It is a day wherein it has become true for thy church. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. O thou knowest all thy church over the length and the breadth of this world. And then there is indeed much weeping. But thou didst say unto thy church that their weeping should be turned into a rejoicing. And so thou didst do it in a way wherein they had never thought. Oh, that thou may look upon us also as a congregation, and that we in this day may be given to know something of that blessed joy of thy church, that we may go from those who weep unto those who do rejoice. And that thou mayest look upon us when we have never wept. O thou knowest what we have just heard. Their eyes were holden. And thou knowest what Satan has done unto us in our deep fall. And then our eyes also are now holden. And we do not see our sin. We do not see thy judgment that is coming. We do not feel anything of thy holiness, of thy righteousness. Oh, then we are dead in sin and in trespasses. Oh, Lord, then thou knowest each and every one, but thou hast risen from the dead, and it needs now also to take place in our life. Art not thou then the first fruits of them that slept? Wilt thou not give the resurrection from the dead in the midst of us, that men and women and boys and girls may for the first time receive an opening of their eyes? Oh, that we might see and feel that we are a sinner before God, and that we cannot exist before thee, and that there is from our side nothing but what can bring us into an eternal condemnation. Oh, give us to feel, Lord. Give us a tender heart and a contrite spirit. Give us to weep, Lord, over our own iniquity, that thou may show it unto us, and that thou may give us hearts that understand, that we may go over this world as one who is condemned by thy holy and righteous law. Oh, that we may be brought to an end of our own goodness and our own righteousness and our own wisdom and all of our own strength. Oh, then it is necessary that we ourselves would be brought to an end, even of our life, that we might live. Oh, that thou mayest do it in the midst of us as a fruit of thy resurrection from the dead. Is it not true that thou art satisfied with the merits of thy dear and only begotten Son? O Lord, wilt thou require them of us who are not able to bring forth one thing that is good and that is pure and that is clean? And then we are guilty, each and every one of us, all cut from that same cloth of our father Adam, conceived and born in sin. O Lord, we cannot we cannot each and every one of us appear and stand before thy judgment seat. Oh, that thou wouldest look upon us then, even in and through him in whom thou art so well pleased, that thou mayest give that true life from the dead, that we might hunger and thirst also after him, that we may be given to see something of his beauty, as something of the merits which he has merited for the salvation of his people. Oh, give us to see the perfections that of his obedience to thy holy law. Give us to see something of the beauty of the cross, that awful cross that has brought him down into death and into the grave even, to descend into hell. Oh Lord, that we might ourselves learn to come to that place where we are worthy of being cast away into that eternal abyss, and that it may become an everlasting wonder unto us that thou hast taken that place for thy own church. Oh, that thou wouldest lead thy people ever further upon the way, that thou may lead them into thy truths, that may make them to rejoice. For indeed, their eyes are so often so holden, then they are not ignorant of themselves, a little of their own state, a little of their own condition. But now to see thee, O Lord, oh, to have a little view of thee, even through the lattice, oh, that thou wouldest appear a little bit to show unto us just a small part of that precious work which thou hast accomplished. Oh, that we may be given to see thee as the victor over sin, death, and hell, that there may be a rejoicing in the heart of those who have wept, sometimes for so many years. Lord, open thou the holden eyes, that thou mayest release them to see the beauty. Oh, that they may be given to see thy dear and only begotten Son, but that they may be led also to see something of the Father, and what he is, and that he is reconciled unto his church. Oh, that they may be given to receive also the receipt for that work, that it may be given unto them, that they may have what to give in on that last day, that they may receive the blessed comforts and that blessed foundation and the assurance for that often weak faith that thou hast planted in their hearts. O Lord, wilt thou remember thy church? Wilt thou give them to eat a little bit and to drink a little bit? Thou dost say that the meek shall eat and they shall be satisfied. Oh, that thou mayest do it then for the sake of the afflicted and the poor of this world, and that thou mayest remember young and old, look upon the children and the youth. Then it is for them probably difficult to understand. But oh, thou can make it so easy, even for a child. For thou hast said, suffer the little children to come unto me. And Lord, then we are also very ignorant. But if thou wouldst open it unto us, thy wisdom that shall grant us wisdom, whether we are young or old, oh, that we might be given to receive it all together in that blessed simplicity, that we may in this afternoon hour receive out of thy heavenly store that which is prepared by thee, and that the moment may come for the deliverance of thy church, which is often so bound up in all that broken covenant. Oh, that thou mayest give them a little freedom, Lord, that thou mayest give them a little standing in that way of grace, that they may pronounce, that they may confess something of that blessed truth, and that they may be given in the midst of the congregation to be a blessing when others may be given to hear and fear, when thy children may be given to say, come and hear all ye that fear God, and I will tell you what the Lord has done for my soul. Remember thou us in this special day, every Sabbath day again, on the first day of the week, that we may commemorate actually thy resurrection from the dead. But oh, in this day, then it is in a special way, wilt thou remember all the afflicted and the sick, those that are handicapped, those that have special needs of mind, of body, that receive treatments, that are weak. Thou knowest all those that mourn in these days, also those that are sick. Wilt thou watch over and protect us as a congregation from all that is about us? Thou knowest all that takes place. Wilt thou remember us in all of our needs, care for our government and all that have to make difficult decisions when there is so much disagreement, Lord, that thou mayest give unto them wisdom, that they may make decisions, and that we may be given to submit and to follow them, and that thou thyself may lead us all together to thy blessed footstool. Do look upon all thy truly sent servants over the length and breadth of this world, that thou mayest increase their number, and that thou mayest give also in the days in which we live, wherein Satan goes about both as an angel of light and as a roaring lion, to deceive whom that he will, nay, whom thou wilt allow him to deceive. For he is upon the chain, and he is not able to go one step further, O Lord, than thou wilt allow. Oh, thou wilt take care of thy church, though it seem that it is so hopeless. Lord, thou art almighty, and wilt thou do wonders for the sake of thy people. Draw them in, O Lord, do gather them into thy kingdom. The time is short. Satan is loosed more and more, and by thy permission, and thy children, they will be persecuted. Then it is coming upon the world, and we can see it all about us. Oh, give us together to hasten for the sake of our lives, both young and old together, that we might forsake the world and every former friend, and that we might seek those things that are still to be had, to be received, those eternal treasures which shall never be wiped away. Remember us in this hour. Help thou us in the preaching. Help thou us in the hearing. And be thou on the right and the left with thy Holy Spirit. Come in the hearts of young and old. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us now sing from Psalter 117, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. As pants the heart for streams of living water, so longs my soul, O living God, for thee. I thirst for thee. For thee my heart is yearning. When shall I come thy gracious face to see? 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 117. Thank you. Congregation, the words of our text for this afternoon can be found in the portion read to you, Luke 24, and thereof the last part of the verse 29. Luke 24, verse 29, the last part, and he went in to tarry with them. So far, the words of our text. Christ goes in to tarry with his disciples. First, the request for this tarrying. Second, the blessedness of this tarrying. Christ goes in to tarry with his disciples. First, the request for this tarrying. And second, the blessedness of this tarrying. Thus, first, the request for this tarrying. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." The request for this tarrying: abide with us, stay with us, remain with us, come in with us. Who says that? To whom is this said? We would say, children, that this sounds like these are friends. You would like to do that too, I think, now more, wouldn't you? You can't wait until the time that you can say to your friend, "Come in with me to my house, that you may abide, that we can be together." That is what friends like to do. Indeed, these are friends. They are indeed very close friends. They are actually spiritual friends. Do you have a spiritual friend? Because a spiritual friend, a natural friend, we have just for a little while. We have a natural friend while we are here on the earth. But a spiritual friend, we have forever. A spiritual friend will be a friend even after this life. Husbands, wives, you are friends. But are you also spiritual friends? Children, parents, you are friends. Will you be friends also after that this life is over? Abide with us. Indeed, they are friends. One of them is Cleophas. The other one is a disciple of the Lord whom we do not know. They are good friends. So we see them walking and we see them talking together. What are they talking about? What do we talk about? With our friends. We read here, they talk together of all these things which had happened. What are all those things which had happened? Well, we know what has happened. Yes, indeed we know what has happened. But these men, they know what has happened much better than we know what has happened. For us, it is a nice story. Or has it become more in our life than just a nice story? Beautiful story, right, children? Say one of the most beautiful stories in all of the Bible. The disciples so sad in the beginning of the day. And in the end of the day, then everything has changed. Everything is turned completely around. Beautiful story. But what was it for those men? It was life. It was the life of their own soul. What are they talking about? Oh, these people know it better than we. These people, we read, they commune and they reason of all these things which had happened. That is natural. The Lord has given us a reasoning mind. And then we look for causes, we look for effects. And so we read here, they are discussing these things. But here, they reason and reason. But they are not able to figure it out. They throw it back and forth. But they are not able to come to the causes. They are not able to come to good effects. Everything that seems completely wrong, they cannot put it together. Do we know what that is? Because these are not just beginners in the life of grace. We would say a beginner, well, maybe he cannot figure it all out. But these men, they have already been on that way. And then for a little while already. But it is even these of the people of the Lord that they are brought into a great perplexity. Thus the Lord, he never works against reason. Was there anything that has taken place? When we may look back now, when we may read the history, and when those disciples afterwards, they may look back, was there anything that was unreasonable? Say, no. No. Now that they understand, and yet there were things which were above their reason. Things that reason cannot attain unto. And therefore the Lord, he is not to be understood, no, but the Lord is to be worshipped. The Lord, he is to be served. And that is the way it was with these men. They cannot enter into this mystery. Abide with us, for the day is far spent. Who says this? Well, it is these two men, Cleophas and his friend, this other disciple. And they speak to whom? We said it sounds like they are speaking also to a friend. Indeed, he is a friend. But they do not realize who it is. They do not recognize him. Their eyes, we read here, are holden that they should not know him. That is an amazing thing. Actually, he is a stranger. And to a stranger, they say, abide with us. Come into us. Tarry with us. Do not go further on your way. Remain in our company. That is a strange thing. Because they have just met this man. How is it that they ask him? We do not do that. When we have a stranger, we say, well, you may go your way. Children, young people, be careful with strangers, because strangers today, they are looking to harm young people, children. When you see a stranger, then you let your mother or your father only speak to a stranger. But here it is different. These are not just children. No, these are adults. And a special bond has developed between this stranger and these men as they are walking. Just a very short time. A heart bond. He is unknown to them. And yet that bond is so strong that they have no desire to be separated from this man. No, that was not so immediately when they have met him. When they were walking on their way and this stranger, he has approached them. No, at that time, then we can read that it was different. Then we can hear that there was even some kind of an annoyance that this stranger desired to interrupt all these sad reasonings that were going on. They were so despondent. Why? Because of all those things which had taken place. All the things they hoped for, all the things they were expecting, everything that has been dashed to pieces. What manner of communications are these that you have one to another as ye walk and are sad? Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem and hast not known the things which are come to pass here in these days? Why do you ask us such a question? You a complete stranger here? You have heard of nothing? No. Spiritual despondency that has no desire to explain itself. How is that, people of the Lord? How is that? When you are asked to explain yourself, are you always ready to talk? Are you ready to talk just to a stranger who comes to your door? He will begin to ask you some questions. And then everything inside is turned upside down. And then you will say, man, what do you want? And then we are finished. Then you have no desire to begin to explain. You say it will take a long time to explain it to this man. He is a stranger. He does not know about these things. And all that hope and the expectation, and how now do I even begin to explain it to a person who I do not know and who does not understand? But does the Lord now ever inquire? People of the Lord. Does the Lord now ever begin to inquire into your soul? When you go on your knees, does the Lord ever say to you, tell me now. Tell me now the things that are happening in these days. Explain to me something. Explain to me something of why that your heart that is discouraged. Do you remember how that was in the beginning of your life? Oh, did the Lord ever say to you, what things? Did the Lord ever say to you, tell me now, what were now the first desires of your heart? Tell me now how it went in those days. Tell me now how it goes in these days. Oh, how was it when my dear son was first revealed to your soul? Oh, how was it in your heart in those days? How precious was he? Oh, may you ever say that to the Lord. You say you may begin in the beginning of your life. You may begin in the beginning of that spiritual life. You say, when is that? When was that? I don't know when that was. But, oh, Lord, I can tell you how it was in the days of my youth. Is that so, young people? In the days of your youth, that already that there are reasonings in your heart? Is there a place in your life, people of the Lord, that you may now say it unto the Lord? These men, they are not strangers of the Lord Jesus. No, they have walked with the Lord Jesus for 3 years. How long have you walked with him? How long has it been since he has revealed himself to your soul, since you have begun to love him, since you have said in your heart, O Lord, thou art altogether lovely, thou art the chiefest among 10,000. All these men, that has been a little time now already. He was in their eyes that prophet that was mighty in deed and word before all the people. Oh, they had such blessed memories. Such blessed memories when they were sitting on that mount. And the Lord Jesus had that multitude all around him. And the Lord was instructing them. And they may receive that instruction. All those years in which they have walked with him, they have followed him, they were near to him every day. Those years when they saw and they felt and they experienced the mercy of the Lord, what he has done among that people. You remember, they may say to each other, and they are walking together. You remember? You remember what he did to Bartimaeus? And we said to him, hold your peace. No, he brought and he cured. He may see. Oh, do you remember what he did? How that he has raised the dead? You remember that day that Lazarus came forth. How is that possible? Such a power. And we believe that it was he. Certainly, it had to have been him. There is no man that widow of Nain and her son. And he has brought life from the dead. Do you not remember? Oh, remember that time he was let through the roof. Oh, the words that he spoke to him. Oh, then he said to that man, thy sins be forgiven thee. A prophet mighty in word and in deed before God and all the people. Oh, the graciousness of his words. We have heard him in those 3 years. Then he spoke as no man ever spoke. Oh, then he has quieted the mouth of all of the enemies. And the words that he spoke were words of grace and truth. Oh, we remember the power. We remember the power of his deeds, the power of his words. Oh, they were days that every day it seemed we learned something. Remember that, people of the Lord? If you go back to the beginning of that life, and every day you were in that word of God, every day another sermon from the tape. Oh, and then you were hungering and thirsting, and it seems that every day that you learned something new. Precious times. You say, I would not trade those times, not for all the world. And now go a little further. Yeah, a little further. What can I say? How do I go a little further? 3 years, we read, they walked with Jesus. And they loved the Lord Jesus. And they thought that he was truly the Messiah. We trusted. We trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. The evidence was all there. That is the way it was prophesied in the Old Testament. Then we could see that he was that fulfillment. And then we thought that it was going to keep going. We thought it was going to keep increasing more and more. We looked for that. And we waited for that. Yeah. So how did it go further? Well, one time that whole multitude, 5,000 people, and he fed them. Few loaves and fishes. Oh, then the people were so, they were speaking about it. They wanted to make him a king. And we were so glad. Oh, we thought now is the time. And he will be exalted on high. Him whom we love. Him whom we believe in. But it didn't happen. He sent us away over the sea. And he himself went up into a mountain. And nothing came of it. How did it go further? Yeah, a little while ago, he rode. He rode upon an ass to Jerusalem. Oh, we thought again. Oh, we thought now is the time. Now is the time. He will receive the crown of the kingdom. The people, they were singing, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Nothing happened. You say, how does it go? Did it go further in my life? That is not an easy question. I have not so much to say. There was no progress. There was no growth. If I am honest, then there was no increase. No, actually, it was just the opposite. Oh, then the opposition that began. That opposition began to increase more and more. Even Judas, one among us, we had never expected it. And he turned out to be a traitor. Say, how did it go further? Oh, what a fear was struck in our heart. Oh, in that day, then he said, one of you shall betray me. Oh, how I feared in that day. What is now all my religion? What is now all my following? Oh, my heart, I am capable of doing that. I am capable. Oh, Lord, is it I? The truth of the matter. Oh, that has come so into question in my life, in my heart. Say, yeah, how did it go further? Oh, finally, the chief priests and the rulers, they have taken him and they have delivered him. And they've crucified him. They have put him to death. Indeed, we have deceived ourselves. Indeed, we thought it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. On him was all our hope. On him was all our expectation. We have rejoiced in him in our life. When the Lord has opened that to us, when the Lord has revealed his blessed name to our soul, then we have cried out, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. But we deceived ourselves. It cannot be true. It is impossible. And now these strange things, these women, strange visions, angels saying he is alive, and indeed the grave is empty, and him we see not. Abide with us. Why do they say that? Why do they say that to this stranger? Shall we ask the Lord's people for a moment? The Lord's people, we will ask them to give us an answer today to that question. Why? Why are they asking this? We will ask them if the Lord has ever given them that opportunity. That opportunity when the Lord was so hidden and everything in their life that was completely upside down. And in such a time that the Lord brought them on their knees and that the Lord gave them a place to lay before him all that is taking place in their life. And if the Lord said to them when they were on their knees there, come now, come now, speak and tell me. And then in those moments that your soul could enter in a little, enter in with the Lord, and when you could hear the Lord listening, and when you could hear the Lord asking, and when you could hear and feel the Lord drawing, say, do not stop, but go on and tell me. That is a wonderful thing. The Lord, he hides himself, and yet he is drawing out the sad complaints that are living in the heart of his people. But that is not the end of it. No, why does the Lord empty his church? Oh, he empties his church in order that he may fill them. And now it is in those times when that church is brought into those places where they are not able anymore because of lack of wisdom, because of lack of strength, because of lack of holiness, because of lack of righteousness, because of lack of everything from their own side. Oh, they are not able to see their way anymore. That it becomes so impossible that with everything that I have received in my life, then I have to go lost. And when the Lord, he is drawing that people on that blessed place on their knees, then there is also instruction coming. Listen. And he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and the prophets and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself, beginning at Moses and the prophets. Why does the Lord begin in his explanation at Moses? Oh, how did the Lord deliver his church? The Lord, he delivered his church by descending. descending from his glory onto this sin-cursed earth, there to come to where his people, his elect, are laying. And there he has lifted them up into heaven. And so the Lord is doing for every one of his true children. He begins at Moses. Why? He begins where that people are. Those people, they are not strangers of Moses. What does Moses here mean? It means the Pentateuch. It means the five books that Moses wrote, from Genesis to Deuteronomy. That means actually, boys and girls, he begins in Genesis. And what do you read in the beginning of Genesis? You read about a blessed creation of the Creator of heaven and earth. Oh, the height of that creation. Then you read Genesis 3, a deep fall. Oh, you read about a curse. And so the Lord Jesus, he begins. Those that love the Lord, they are very familiar with this. They are very familiar with Adam. They are very familiar with Moses. And now the Lord, he begins there. And then he begins to go through the life of that people. And he explains there the warfare. The warfare that is going on in the heart of that church. Oh, he explains there the love that the Lord is planting in the heart of his people. He describes the desires after his holy law. Oh, the Lord gives there a description. A description of what he is doing by the work, the power of his Holy Spirit. Then he goes on. He begins with Moses. And what do you think is happening in the heart of those disciples? When the Lord Jesus is speaking there, we read it later. Then they testified what was happening in those moments. Do you know what that is also in your life? Oh, they said, did not our heart burn within us when he talked with us? By the way, do you know what that is? Do you know what that is to be drawn? Do you know what it is for the Lord to speak and to give a little instruction of his wisdom? And when he explains your life, and what is going on in your life, and what is going on in your heart. And then he brings them back to Adam. To Adam. Oh, he says, people, you want to obey that law, and you want to merit it. Oh, you want to give a perfect obedience, so that you may return into the blessed communion with the Father. That is what you want. Oh, people, we have to go back there. Look at Adam. You see what he has done? Oh, that covenant, he broke it. He broke it, people. Oh, it is not possible anymore. Why? Because who can bring forth a clean thing out of an unclean? Oh, the Lord, he brings that people back. He begins at Moses. He brings them back to Adam, to that original sin. He says, no, my people, from the crown of the head unto the sole of the foot, it is nothing but wounds. It is nothing but putrefying sores. And beginning at Moses and the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. The things concerning himself, oh, then he begins to lead them. What are those things concerning himself? Oh, he has spoken about them already. You say we haven't heard about them already. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, people. Yes, the first instruction that the Lord is going to give to his people are things concerning himself. And the things are concerning the need. Concerning the need. Not first the provision, but first the need. You know where it starts in the heart, young people? It starts with misery. And the instruction in our misery, and the instruction in Moses, and the instruction in Adam, that is all instruction in the things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if we never see our need, oh, then that precious mediator, he will never be lovely in our eyes. No, he speaks here of all the things concerning himself. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things? And he begins to expound the substance of the entire scriptures. Moses and the prophets, that was their entire scriptures. And the entire scriptures, they were all about himself. Who is still hid from them? Who is still behind the wall? They cannot see him. And he is speaking about himself and their heart. Oh, their heart is burning. Did your heart ever burn when he was hidden from you? And the Lord has instructed you in Moses and Adam, his law. And when the Lord has turned everything upside down and brought you to a complete end, and then the Lord begins to speak about himself. The Lord begins to speak about his coming. He begins to speak about his suffering. He begins to speak about his death. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Oh, can you understand these men then? That sooner than they ever expected, this conversation is coming to an end. And they are at the place where they had wanted to come. Can you understand these men then? When they say to this stranger, abide with us, for the day is far spent. Let us sing 439, stanza 3. Whom have I, Lord, but thee on high? None else on earth can satisfy. But thou, O God, my soul's deep yearning, for thee my troubled heart is burning. And what follows in the third stanza of Psalter 439. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us. They did not just ask him. No, they constrained him. They entreat him. They do not let him go. There is some force in that word. There is a great enjoyment in the spiritual instruction of Christ. For that true church, there is an eating, there is a drinking, there is communion, that is a little bit, just a little taste of what is going to be in that eternal communion for the church of God. So often that is lacking in their life. So often also the desire for it is lacking in their life. Their heart can be so cold. Their heart can be like a rock, like a Gentile, like a heathen. They are like Gallio sometimes, who cared, we read in God's word, for none of these things. But now let the Lord come once. Let the Lord come once, and let the Lord start to dig a little bit. And let the Lord begin to stir a little bit. And let the Lord begin to inquire a little bit. And let the Lord leave a little myrrh on the handles of the lock. And then that people, they do not recognize themselves anymore, just like they are two different persons. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us. Oh, the bride says, and let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. By night upon my bed, I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. I said, I will arise and go into the streets and into the broad ways. And I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye him, whom my soul loveth? Was but little that I passed by them, and I found him, whom my soul loveth. And then what do we read? I held him. I held him. Oh, I embraced him. I held him, and I would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house and into the chambers of her that had conceived me. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, everyone that enters into that eternal bliss is going to desire that there shall never, ever come an end. Do we have a proof for that? Oh, we do. The smallest communion that may be experienced here below, and then that soul is saying, abide with us. Oh, congregation, what is awaiting for that church of God above? And he went in to tarry with them. Oh, what does that mean, people of the Lord? It means that the Lord, he is to be inquired of. He is to be entreated. Do you believe that? And he went in to tarry with them. That was an answer to their request, to their constraining. Abide with us. Oh, he is to be entreated. Remember only the widow and that unjust judge. Oh, the bride, she says, the king, he had brought me into his chambers. That is what we read here. When he went in to tarry with them. And now what a blessed tarrying that was. Why? Oh, it was here that the Lord was going to solve the riddles that were living in the hearts of these two disciples. Do you desire that, people of the Lord? That the Lord would answer your questions. That the Lord would solve all the riddles that are living within you. Oh, the Lord is going to speak here. When he goes in to tarry with them, do you know what he is going to say? He is going to say, oh, my disciples. He's going to say, I know who you are. I know where that you are. I know where you have been. I know all the troubles and all the afflictions. I know everything that has been taking place in these days. Oh, it is in this tarrying that the Lord himself, he is going to become a solution for the case of these disciples. It is for them an unsolvable case. It is for them a complete mystery. And he is going to show himself as the solution to that mystery. And the Lord is going to establish them in that faith. Just in a time when all their redemption is cut off. What do we read? And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave to them, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. They knew him. They recognized him. Oh, they had already known him. They saw him as one whom that they knew. He revealed himself in the breaking of bread. Oh, if only we could enter a little bit into what actually took place in the hearts of these disciples in that moment. Because these disciples were well acquainted. They were not just beginners, remember. No. They were well acquainted. They had walked with Christ for 3 years. But when their eyes were opened, they see him in a way that they have never seen him before. This is the first time in their life that they see him in his exalted state. They do not see him now in the state of his humiliation, but they see him now in the state of his exaltation. They see him in his glory. When they saw him, their eyes were opened. Then they saw him in his victory over sin, in his victory over death. They saw him how? They saw him as the conqueror of all of his enemies, as one that is stronger than Satan, stronger than death, stronger than condemnation, stronger than hell. No, it is not true that the enemy has overcome him, but it is true that he has overcome and he has subdued the enemies of him and his church. And now that view of him that is accompanied with something that is not just as we sit in the church and we hear a doctrine, no, but the hearts of these men, they are involved. Then the hearts of these men, they are burning under his instruction. They are burning with blessed desires after his instruction, his communion. Oh, these men have just received a favorable answer from him when they have asked, abide with us. And he went in to tarry with them. He becomes the host, and they become the favored guests. Oh, they are receiving that nourishment out of his very hands. Their eyes are opened to see what they have never seen before. All these, they are felt tokens. They give them something of that blessed indication that they themselves are involved. They also have an interest in this mediator. What happens to their sorrow? It immediately becomes joy. Can you turn that back again? Can you turn that back again? Can you make that joy back into sorrow? Do you know what those men comprehend immediately? Oh, when they see him, then immediately they comprehend that it is he who says, I am he that liveth and was dead and am alive forevermore. They know that. So can you prove that? Yes. How can we prove that? Well, what do we read? He vanished. And were they then sorrowful? No, they were not sorrowful. Well, why not? He was not with them anymore. He was gone. Oh, that church, young people, you have a little brother, you have a little sister, and mother, father go away, and little brother, little sister, they are crying, right? And you have to take care of them. You say, waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. For what? Well, for mother to come home, father to come home. Why? Because when they see, then they will stop crying. There is mother, there is father. That belongs to a little infant. And you cry when mother goes away. You say, no. Why not? Well, because I get bigger. And I know they come back again. They love us. They still take care of us. We don't have always to be in each other. And now, the Lord also in the Bible, then the Bible speaks about children and young men and fathers in grace. You see what is happening here? Those disciples for 3 years. Oh, when the Lord Jesus was not near, then there was fear. That father, oh, his son, and they try to cure him, and they cannot, and they are anxious, and they are waiting till what? Well, the Lord Jesus comes again, yes. And when he was not there, then they were like a little infant. And like God's children, in the beginning of that way, oh, then they are living. We say they live by sight. They live by sight. And what does the Lord do? The Lord says to his people, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are not only children, there are young men, there are fathers in grace. And the Lord, now he is leading his children that they would not only be infants, but that they may grow up a little. And now the Lord Jesus, he vanishes. And they are still so glad. Why? Oh, faith. Faith that is being established in the heart of these disciples. Oh, Easter congregation. Easter is such a blessed thing for the church of God, the concerned church of God. They ought more to yearn after the knowledge that the Lord is giving unto his children at Easter. What does Paul say? He was delivered for our offenses, and he was raised again for our justification. That is a true doctrine. That is true for every single one of his own children. But to know it now, that is for the Lord to lead that people further on that way of grace, that they may not be always up and down upon the waves. What does that have to go through? That has to go through Good Friday. Good Friday. That is not easy. They don't have to actually go through Good Friday. No, because Christ, he has gone through Good Friday. Oh, we could never go through this. But it is necessary for that people to be led in a spiritual way through that Good Friday. Every Judas will apostatize before that Good Friday. The Lord will bring his people through that Good Friday. And then Job, he says, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. What a blessed knowledge. That is the knowledge of the established church. It is the knowledge of the bride, as opposed to that concerned church, the daughters of Jerusalem. What does that bride say? She says, my beloved is mine, and I am his. I am black, but comely. Abide with us, for the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. Blessed hour. Blessed hour. The bride says, he brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. O congregation, what will heaven be for that black, that comely bride? What will that be? And when the hour turns into days, and the days into weeks, and the weeks into months, and the months into years, and into a never-ending eternity, and then still to be at the very, very beginning. And will we cleave then to this sin-cursed earth? Will we cleave then to everything that is perishing here below, only to plunge ourselves into that eternal abyss? Oh, the day is far spent. The coming, the drawing of the Lord. The coming of the Lord that is drawing nigh. The stakes are high. It is eternal well, or it is eternal woe. Will you not beseech him, abide with us, for the day is far spent, because he says, I will for this thing be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, grant us an undeserved blessing. Thou knowest all our hearts, and each and every one of us, and with a soul that is traveling to a great eternity, and we are either included or we are excluded. Oh, give us that same cry that thou wouldest come in unto our hearts, that thou wouldest abide with us, that thou wouldest commune with us, that thou wouldest instruct us, that thou wouldest redeem us and deliver us from all our iniquities. Bring us safely home. Give us sweet meditations upon thee, upon thy work, upon thy holy word. And bring us together also on the day of Tuesday, when our governor has declared a prayer day in this province. Lord, give us also to feel the need, and be thou in the midst of us as one that serveth. Help each one with our labors in this world. Be with the school, and when they hope also to gather again, and wilt thou watch over and protect in every way. Grant thy blessing upon the labors there, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Psalter 52, stanzas 3 and 4. Thou preparest me a table in the presence of the foe. Thou my head with oil anointest, yea, my cup doth overflow. O my Savior, having thee, no want I know. 3 and 4 of 52. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.